From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
So, Nigel, you've been across the pond to a very big learning conference. So, tell us all about where you've been and what you thought of it.
Okay, I've just come back from the Maisie Learning 2016 conference in Orlando, Florida. I'm slightly embarrassed to say that this is my 11th conference in a row. So I've been there quite a lot.
Wow.
And yeah, I suppose that's, in some ways, I should get a reward or a badge or something. Why do I go? What makes the conference different? It's one of the biggest learning conferences in the world, for sure. There were 1,639 people there or something this year, slightly down on the year before when it was at 1,900. And it has been around about 2,000 on occasions. But this was in the wake of the Florida hurricane, where I think a lot of people were worried about coming to Florida in case they got blown off the surface of the earth. But it was absolutely fine. The weather was glorious. About 80 degrees, so it's very sunny and pleasant. What gets me going to Maisie is the fact that Elliot tries every year to do things differently and to give you an oblique view of learning, and that is special for me. For example, he had Scott Kelly as a keynote. Scott is the astronaut, a US astronaut who spent a year and 2 months or a year and 3 months in space, I think the longest time anyone has ever spent in gravity-free environment. And he also had Anderson Cooper on. Anderson is the CNN anchor who recently chaired one of the Clinton-Trump debates and is a very well-known journalist. So you say, well, you know, what on earth have they got to do with the learning conference? Well, quite a lot. That one of the things that Elliot does is he doesn't allow people really to do any keynotes from the big stage. He interviews them. So you get some quite profound insights from those interviews. And Scott Kelly was talking about his learning and how he kept his brain alive all on his own. Well, not on his own. He had different people coming and going in the space station, but essentially on his own, detached from his family, for over a year, and the demands that intellectual demands that makes to kind of actively stop just stultifying, you know, keep yourself active, keep yourself engaged. And part of what he did was he took the most extraordinary photographs that, you know, that they were being spooled across the stage at the back, you know, and there's a 125-foot screen. So you can imagine the size of these amazing pictures. But that wasn't just kind of doing pics. It was an active engagement with the world that he was not part of any longer, and an active process of, you know, being committed. So I love that. And Anderson Cooper just talks about the way he prepares, the way he thinks about journalism, and his career as he was basically a war correspondent in his early career. Mm-hmm. Pretty tough guy, been in some pretty awful places. And just how he writes and why he writes and what he does. And also a long talk about his relationship with his mother, which was very interesting. She was Vanderbilt, Gloria Vanderbilt. So you'd think that means he was absolutely rich. As he said, you know, he's one time a Vanderbilt made a fortune and the succeeding generation simply spent it. So he's not a rich guy. Mm-hmm. But there's also 190 parallel sessions, so that wow. There's insights on everything. And I really got involved in VR. I had a big VR demo area. And I was working with Bobby, who was running that, and I actually stood in for him to let him have a break occasionally. So I got some real insight into how VR can work. And I had time. You see, the conference is over 3 days. It's not just rush in, rush out. You have time to think and contemplate. And I, you know, the sessions I went to were all very, very thoughtful and well presented and very varied. So he always has meetups. He has creative sessions where people are drawing stuff. He has presentation sessions. You know, basically, to challenge, surprise, delight, and make everyone smile a bit. You know, but on the big night, which is the Tuesday night before the final day, he gave everyone a ticket to Epcot. So, you know, that costs $75 or something to get into Epcot in the evening. And it's the International Food and Drink Festival. So you've got all these different pop-up restaurants that you can sample world foods. But just that kind of atmosphere. And I there's a group that he has every year called 30 Under 30. And they kind of grabbed me at some point. So I spent most of the evening with a group of 30 Under 30, you know, six or seven of them. And I really enjoyed talking to them because it's a big place, Epcot. So just walking around slowly, get to chat and talk. Yeah. And they dragged me onto one of the rides called Soarin', which I'd never even heard of. There alone would have got in a queue for 20 minutes to get on it. The most extraordinary ride, where you sit in a chair which propels you into a space, and that is a kind of 3D trip over the world. So the chair goes up, or the film probably, the chair doesn't move. I have no idea. You're just lost in this world. You soar down and up over mountains and through the Arctic, down through Paris and across the US Midwest. Absolutely beautiful experience. It only lasts about 4 minutes, but half the group went and queued back in to do it again. And I was tempted, but I didn't. I went home and left them to it. But it's that sort of thing, you know, the variety of experiences, the variety of people you meet, the quality of presentations. You know, you get very few duff presentations because everything is curated. And plus the kind of serendipity of the people you see on the big stage and the people you get a chance to meet as keynotes. And that was just two. There are lots of keynotes, including me. I did the final keynote with Elliot, which I always enjoy. And we chatted about a whole range of things, mostly around leadership. So it's an engaging and invigorating process. And most of the people you meet, having gone through it, you know, go back with a bit of a spring in their step. And that's rare for conferences.
Well, in our attempt to keep our conversations as brief as possible, this sounds terribly rude, doesn't it? We're going to have to wind it up. A couple of things quickly. Would you like to see that kind of conference in the UK? That's the first thing. And the second thing is that idea of an oblique view of learning. That strikes me as I'm a big advocate of that, to looking outside the sector for inspiration and just generally connecting with what is going on in the wider world and bringing that thinking into learning. Do you think those two things need to happen? You know, could we have a Maisie type event in the UK, or should we? And should we have more of that, you know, kind of outward focus in the content of the conferences that there are here?
Latter, absolutely. You know, that idea of the oblique view. Richard Calata, who was speaking at the conference, so I know quite well, used to be the chief technology officer for the US government, the educational technology officer for the US government. Richard said that one of the things he does, as a matter of course, is sign up to conferences that no one invites him to. So he went to a conference on water, for example. He finds things because he gets insights. He gets insights in terms of presentation, insights in the world. And I was looking at the Wired conference, which is on this Thursday and Friday, and I've got to go back to the US. But if I was here, I'd seriously think about turning up to the Wired conference, you know, as a kind of uninvited, not part of the community. Yeah. In terms of could we run a Maisie, his advantage is that just the numbers, the sheer volume of people, that allows him to get the really big speakers. So he can pay big bucks to get people. You know, Anderson Cooper was flown down in a private jet from New York because he had to go back to do his news program that evening. Now, that, you know, that costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's quite a crowded space.
Yeah.
People go to Maisie often without knowing what the program will be because they trust him. And they think he'll keep it interesting. So, you know, if we did Cousins and Payne come here, it's going to be really interesting. Maybe 1,600 people might not believe us. They might, but it's a bit of a risk.
On that thought, I just hope that those listeners out there do believe us or believe in us. And I hope that was interesting. I think it was fascinating, actually. And I'd like to get to that event one day. It sounds like a really interesting one. Nigel, thank you so much for reflecting on that.
It's a pleasure. From scratch.